Today, I have my friend and fellow coach, Mr. Clint, with me, who's a fellow Texan. And all I'll say about Texas is those that know, know. Okay. So, Clint, thanks for joining me today. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. I'm better than good. You know, being a Ziegler coach, you know, you always got to have buy into the, you know, always got improvement, getting stronger and stronger, and some great things are happening all the time. So,
okay. Well, can we just go ahead and end the recording right now and we can call it a day?
Well, there's always something to work on. You want to be persistent and consistent. So what can we add to things? And I thank you for inviting me today to have a little chat about some stuff. And, you know, it's always good to get another perspective and, you know, drill into things and see what sort of things we can come up with. So.
Awesome. Okay, folks. Well, you heard it here first. Okay. So what would make this an extraordinary conversation today?
Yeah, well, as we were, you know, my day has been, I'm a sales manager, sales leader. I've been working, you know, Tom's came out with a new book. You know, I'm going to post it for him. I don't know if you'll be able to see it coming up.
Yeah, sort of.
Well, it's leave a little mysticism to it now. So what was that? So
yeah, you got to turn your head like this to see it.
The 10 virtues of for the disruptive times that's going on. So as a coach leader of where I am, I have a, you know, 13 people that report to me directly or indirectly. And always worth working on how to motivate them and get them going and get them to make that commitment and keep them accountable. So those are kind of the struggles as a coach leader. You know, you have the 10 virtues that you bring to them and you, you know, are kind and doing everything else. But, you know, at some points it's, hey, I really just need you to get your job done. And what are the things that, you know, I have a very good goal structure. I write my goals down. I follow them and everything else. And not everyone will do the same thing the same way, but I guess it's, I wouldn't say it's the struggles, but it's the constant. What are the things that I can put out to my team today that I can, as a task, as a thought, as something else that can go on, that can get them to think down where I am? If I look up where I've come in the last 5 years from knocking on doors, literally knocking on doors in the Texas heat in the summertime, trying to sign up a nail salon or trying to sign up a restaurant for the business that I work in is energy procurement, to where I am now as a sales leader with, you know, millions of dollars of revenue that we're generating in this group, to where it was. Part of my success, or a lot of my success, is doing the things that I've learned with these goal setting, with the Ziegler program and such. And so is it, you know, what are the things to bring out to those people and say, here's something to look at. Here's something to do. You know, why don't you try this and support them into what we got going. So those are some of my thoughts.
What do you do now to try to motivate them?
Now it's a mix of, you know, salespeople are perennially motivated by how much money am I going to make? That's the first thing. But then I'm also trying to get them. I wanted to shift the focus and find out, well, what are you going to do with that money? How is it affecting your life? How is it affecting your family? You make $100,000. What are you going to do? You know, what are your goals behind that? So whether it's trying to find their why to that, sit down with them, started really implementing that. I sit with most of my people on a weekly basis for anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes. And really, it's not just where are you on your goals, but driving down, okay, what's going on in your life? Your work is just not, you know, what you do here for the 8 or 9 hours is part of it, but it's the rest of the time I also want to know about. So I'm trying to establish a connection or relationship with them so that they understand that, hey, you know, I've been in their spot. So I got things going on in my life, 3 teenage kids, lots of, you know, there's always lots of things, a new relationship in the past 6 months. So there's lots of things going on. And, you know, as Ziegler knows, we have this wheel of life and the spokes, and you want to be good on all of them and, you know, be expanding on all of them. So I'm trying to identify with them and getting them to see some of that as well. And not knowing that, you know, hey, if they don't hit their numbers, well, it's not life or death, but it's like, what can we do to get them to the next time?
Why do you think they're not motivated now?
It's not that they're not motivated. It's I want to keep that motivation going. I want to, because, you know, you have a bad month. It's how do you re-energize them at points? And then how do you provide them views into understanding how executives, not just me being their boss, but above me, the executive group wants to see things and are looking at data that we're getting on. So there's a reason behind some of the information. Yes, we can have this, I want to know about the whole you, but there's, you know, key performance indicators that we want to look at. So it's like, I'm trying to ask them, what are the ones that you feel drive your business? And it's each salesperson I would see is, you have a small business within this bigger business. So how do you want to start driving that and get to go? So it's not a lack of motivation. There are, maybe there are a few in the group that lack that and you try and get that going, but it's just, how do you sustain that and give them the tool to move to the next level and get them to visualize and understand, oh, hey, if I looked at this, right? It's, you know, you talk about how many no's you're going to get, right? I'm going to get way more no's than I'm going to get yeses. So why don't I set my goal at getting 100 no's or whatever that number is, rather than, oh, I got to close this deal. You just know that if you're asking each time, if you're making a call or sending an email and getting something back, that's going to relate into business. Sales is always we call it a numbers game. If you do 100 calls, you're going to get 10 leads and you're going to get 2 or 3 sales. That's it. You know, how good are those sales? Are those sales $10 or $1 million?
Have you asked them what they want?
I guess in some ways, not well, directly I do. Each, just kind of like how you started it, I want to use it in a lot of ways, the same pattern. You know, what would make this a really good meeting? You know, what are the things that you're looking at to achieve? So I'm asking those each time I sit down with them to say, what are the things that are on your mind? What's bugging you and getting with it? So am I saying, what do you want today? I don't do that. I say, what's going to make this a fantastic meeting? You know, what's going to solve some of the issues you can, or what are we just going to think about? Some things you can't solve, but you can listen to, right? I think of a lot of it as just to be heard, that they need, and I need to keep on asking. That emotional intelligence is to listen to what they're saying and identify from their body language and from the choice of words, things like that.
So it's also not what they say, it's what they're not saying. Because whenever somebody says, I just need more money, I'll be happy. Well, that's not true. I mean, we all know that's not true. So maybe it's asking the question, maybe you ask them this and they say this, but the way they say it or their tone or whatever, you can say, you know, like, what's that about? Like, you know, so have you ever heard of the guy named Steve Chandler who wrote The Prosperous Coach with Rich Liffin?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever listened to his audio program, Agreements versus Expectation?
No, I have not.
Okay. When we get off this, I'll send it to you because okay. It's game changing stuff. Okay. I'll give you the extreme cliff notes in 20 seconds. Let's say that I had an expectation that we were going to meet at 4 p.m. Central. And you had an expectation that we were going to meet at 4:30 Central. Who's going to be disappointed in that?
I would think you are.
What about you? Yours was at 4:30.
If you're there at 4:30, you've met my expectation.
Okay, hold on. Okay. What if my expectation was we're going to meet at 4 and your expectation was 8 p.m.? We were going to meet at 4 for 45 minutes and your expectation was 8 p.m. Then who's going to be disappointed?
Probably both of us.
Bingo. What if we had an agreement? We're going to meet at 3 p.m. We're both here at 3 p.m. So oftentimes, according to this audio that I'll send you, the expectation sets ourselves up for disappointment. Because if you have an expectation, they're going to hit X number by this day. What if they have a different expectation? What if they say, well, you know, I'm going on vacation and my wife's pregnant and I'm not going to hit these numbers. So they have one expectation and you have a different expectation. But what if y'all had an agreement?
Well, I guess it depends on what the end part of, if it's the, hey, I have a goal of $100,000 with a business for you. Do you agree to that? And we generally have an agreement of what it's going to be. So yes, if things come up, it's not, you didn't make your goal. Well, I have a lower expectation, but you also have a lower amount of pay because your pay is derived from meeting that goal. So, you know, it's just, I see where you're going with that. And I can understand of managing that agreement with them of where it is. And I'm of such a thought that, okay, yes, things are coming up. Well, what we didn't do this month, can we do that next month? We look at on a quarterly basis and say, okay, what else is going on? Okay, well, the economy has happened. We just had the largest print of inflation going on. So lots of things are going on. We're still in COVID or just coming out of COVID. So there's lots of different. So if we can manage the expectation around the agreement, I can have an agreement that, hey, you're going to do 100,000, but all of a sudden, you know, the power goes out for a week. Well, you can't do your job. So I have to manage my expectation for that differently. And as do you, as long as we communicate with it. I think staying in communication with someone and saying what's going on is key to that.
Yes, because you can have an agreement, but then powers beyond your control may. I mean, last year we had literally the biggest freeze in the history of all of Houston.
Yeah.
Okay. So, hey, whatever you had planned for those days probably wasn't getting done because we were under ice. And yeah. You can't be driving on the roads, at least in Texas, at least in Houston, with ice on the roads because we're not equipped for that. But if you had an agreement, what would it be like to have an agreement with them, basically saying, what would a person who does $100,000 this week or month or whatever, what habits and things would that person do? Because then let's be fair, there's not COVID freezes, earthquakes daily. These are weeks or months or years or never apart. But what if you had an agreement with them where you say, I'm going to make 20 calls a day. I'm just making this up. And they say, I don't know if 20 can work because this. Then you could say, okay, what's a good number for you? Oh, I could do 18 for sure. Perfect. So we are in agreement that you're going to do 18 calls a day regardless. But then if it comes down to where their numbers are lacking or whatever, you can say, well, let's go back to our agreement we made. You said 18 calls a day. Okay, this day you made 19. This day you made 21. This day you made 15. This day you made 12. So why aren't you, do we need to make a new agreement, or do you want to stick with your word on your agreement? Because people like to keep their word on things.
I noticed one thing you said there too, is what are the habits that you can do that can get to, you know, get to your goal and reach that. So that's the, get them to say, here's one of the habits, and those can be performance. You know, a habit is just something you do. You know, if I want to lose weight, a habit is I'm going to eat less food and exercise more. Well, let's drill down into that a little bit more. Well, I'm going to eat this many calories. This, here's my macronutrient breakdown, or whatever you want to get into, how you look at that, or how many jumping jacks I'm going to do, or how many pushups. So I think that's the point of getting to say, here's the habit that I'm going to do. Getting an agreement that a habit is something that I'm going to do on a weekly basis or a daily basis. And then, is it okay that I hold you accountable to that habit? So next yes. week, I'm going to come and talk to you and say, okay, or next month, we're going to look at your numbers and going to look, and where are they? Because it's all trackable. We can, here's how we're going to track it. And do we agree on this or not?
Right. Because then they get buy-in, because it's their idea too. It's not just you telling them, like, you know, Moses coming off Mount Sinai with the 10 commandments. And he says, this is what it's going to be. They get buy-in. And when you have buy-in with people and people have buy-in with you, they're more apt to take action because they feel like, A, they're being heard, which is what you said earlier, that they like to be heard. They're being heard, and then they have an action plan, a daily or weekly or monthly action plan to accomplish it. So I heard Jim Rohn say one time that either him or his boss or somebody was tracking how many sales calls did they make for the day or week or whatever. And in the column, the person intentionally made the column like super, super small, where it could only fit, say, three numbers, because, you know, you're not going to call 1,000 people in a week. So Matt, that gives you 1 to 999 calls in a week or day or whatever. So let's say it was a day. He had to do 20 calls a day. So whenever someone would come in, he would put it in that column. And when they started giving excuses about why they didn't do it or whatever, he said, my box only has 2 spaces. So it's either 20 or it's anything below 20 up to 99. Because my box only has room for 2 spaces. It doesn't have room for all your excuses. It's got space for 2 digits. So
it doesn't have a comments beside it.
No, there's no comment box. It's not expandable. It's 2 digits. And I'm not making the cell any bigger. So, but that goes back with, that's a humorous story, but it goes back with the agreement where, when you feel heard and you feel like your voice counts, you're more apt to implement instead of being told you're going to do this or else. And I'm not saying that's what you do. I'm just saying that's expectations. Because if you expected them to make 50 calls a day and they expected to make 15 calls a day, something's got to give, because 50 ain't 15, you know. But if you have an agreement where you're like, okay, I'm going to make 27 calls a day. Okay. Did you hit this agreement? Because y'all can probably go back in your system and track, like you said, it's a numbers game, where if we talk to 10 people, we get 5 appointments and we close 2. Okay. I'm just making this up. I have no idea. But that means if you call 20 people, you should have a meeting with 10 and you close 2 or 3 or 4. But then if they get to where they're, say, 1 for 20, it may be a training issue and not actually a action issue. They may be trained on a different sales technique or whatever, you know, but if you don't track it, you don't know.
Yeah. I also try and get them to look at it this as, and I'm just going to use numbers just because it's easier. So if your goal is $100,000 and you can make $100,000, say that takes you 100 calls. Well, each call is worth $1,000 to you. So why wouldn't you want to do, and it's not each call is making a sale. Maybe it's only three sales that are making that, but I got to make 100 calls to make those three sales. So why wouldn't you make, if each one is worth $1,000, and this is a slight sleight of hand in that, okay, well, if I make 101 calls, I should make $101,000. Well, not necessarily, but the law of numbers will that if you make 200 calls, you will probably make $200,000. So sure. Each call is that. So that's part of what I'm trying to get them to realize, that if you understand what the number is, and I've tracked those numbers down and myself for years and years and years. So I'm not asking people to do things that I haven't done myself or found that have been successful. What I'm also asking them is to tell me what you think is successful. What works for you? Most of these people have 3 to 10 years worth of experience. So you've been doing it long enough that you've kept your job and you're successful, you know, keeping it going. So what's working for you? Tell me how you do it. And I guess my concern for it, for them, is they don't know sometimes. So that's why it's, do you have the motivation and the program and the goals and everything set? If you're just kind of flying by the seat of your pants and you're doing okay, what if you put it into a program and a process? How much better could you do? That's what part of what I'm trying to get them to understand and go get that light bulb go off for them going, oh, you know, you're right. I've just kind of been pretty good at what I've done. And, you know, I got some natural instinct to it and I'm okay, but I could really take it up another couple levels. You know, I've been with this company for 3 years and I've had each year I've had a promotion and more people report to me. There's a reason why for that.
So what's coming to me, or what I hear you say, is they need a process or a system. But if you can get them to come up with their own, then you can create an agreement around their system, not the system that you're telling them.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want them to take my system. I can go, my example is here's my system, what I've used. Using a system works. We all know that. You can talk to Brian Tracy. You can talk to Tom Ziegler. You can listen to Zig. You can listen to, you know, Tom Hopkins. Every top salesperson says, you can probably find agreement in 10 things that you should do every day. Here's what they are, and you will be successful. So driving that out there is that, what are the 10 that you want to use? If you use 70% of those 10, you will be successful. If you can get to 100% of those 10 and use those all the time, you are going to be a $1 million salesperson. You are going to be the top at anything you want to sell, anything that you believe in. So that's where I want to be. It's like, it's not my system. I've picked and choose what I want to make. It's kind of like maybe take it to a chef, right? Not a baker, because a baker, you have to put in this ingredient at this much to get this. But a chef takes, well, I'm going to put a little bit of this, or I'm going to put a little bit more of this. You know, here's the recipe, but I'm going to change it up just a little bit. You don't change up a bakery recipe because it's chemistry. But sales is not chemistry. It's about cooking a little bit, and you know, what am I going to change a little bit? What works for me? What doesn't? Hey, am I maybe a barbecue guy or you know, a hibachi guy, or you know, do I like working on a pellet stove, or I don't like working on a gas fired stove? So having those little things, they all can turn out a great meal, but they're going to be slightly different. You're going to get the results. So I'm asking them to be a chef and tell me how their recipe is going to work and how their process is that they're going to get it done. If you watch, you know, watch the TV shows and go with it that way. So, but I think it goes back to what you said before, but them knowing what their habits should be.
Well, but in order to know what their habits should be, they have to know what their habits are. because if you don't know what your habits are without thinking about it, obviously you brush your teeth and you go to the bathroom and you get a shower and stuff like that. Or some of us comb our hair, you know what I'm saying?
Every Sunday I give it a good combing with my wall trimmers.
Yeah. Yeah. Every Saturday I give mine a good combing with a razor. So, yeah, but if they're not aware of the habits that are maybe not allowing them to fulfill what they want, maybe that's where you should start.
That's, yeah, I would say that's a good point right there. It's making them, what are the things that you're doing right now? How would you teach what you're doing, or how would you, you know, tell me what you're doing right now, I guess is what it is. If not, how would you teach it? It's just, what are you doing right now? What's your daily routine? How do you manage your time? How do you manage what you're doing? And get them to understand that and write that. I think part of the key is writing it down. We see that with goals all the time, that if you don't write them down, it's just a dream.
Yeah. So
write them down.
One question you may ask them is, what does your average day look like? Because most of the time our days are just an average day. Like most time, you know, you don't hit the lottery 17 days in a row, you know, or you don't get married, you know, 4 weeks in a row. That's not the norm. You don't normally get married today, you know? So what does your average day look like? When do you start your work? When do you quit? What do you do in between? You know, and I think you need to go back and watch this recording where you said the baker and the chef, that's genius. You need to tell them that. And you need to give them all chef hats. They don't have to wear it. They can just set it on their computer desk or whatever. But because people love stories.
Yeah.
The baker is like I know, I'm sure in Katy, they got Shipley's donuts, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So those aren't chefs. Because every time you go to Shipley's Donuts, their donuts are going to taste the exact same every single time. Because they're already ready to go. Someone baked them and they put them in the grease or whatever. And then they sprinkle them with the sugar or whatever, or they lather it with sugar. But a chef, he could feel like making chicken or pasta or Japanese or Italian food or a steak or macaroni and cheese or green beans or Brussels sprouts or apple pie. He's got a lot more options because he's not making what's already made. He's making something that didn't exist before.
Yeah.
So like, you watch football at all?
Yeah. I got teenage boys, so I watch football all the time.
Okay. So years ago,
what's them playing?
University of Miami, the Hurricanes, they came over with the turnover chain. So whenever they got an interception or a fumble, whoever got the ball got to take this chain out of, you know, that big suitcase thing,
yeah,
and they got to wear it until they got to go on the field again. Now it's gone ridiculous. People have wrestling belts. I saw some school a couple of weeks ago that had full on shoulder pads with spikes coming out of them.
Yeah.
Was the turnover shoulder pads, whatever, which is lame, but they almost led the league. I mean, led the nation in turnovers because they wanted to get that turnover chain.
Yeah.
So that chef's hat might be a good visual where it's like, and tell them exactly what you said. Baker's chef. We want you to be chefs around here, because how many bakers have you ever heard of in your whole life that are on Food Network? You know, you don't have Baker Bobby Flay and Baker, that girl from Italy that's always with Bobby Flay, Giada or whatever.
Giada De Laurentiis, yeah.
Okay. It's chef Giada. It's chef Bobby Flay. It's chef Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
It's not Baker Gordon Ramsay. He's a chef.
That's a good point, because a lot of my guys are foodies as well. So they're going to make it to that. I like that idea. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to put that in there. That's a good one.
Okay. Awesome. Well, you came up with it. I'm just repeating what you said.
Well, it takes two to get me to thinking about it and going, oh, maybe that's it.
Okay, so I think we're done.
Yeah, that's it. It's a good point to stop off and you know, bring it to him. Say, okay, who's going to be the chef this week?
Well, or maybe you could make it a game where, like, there's a show on Netflix. It's called Nailed It. Have you ever seen this?
No, I haven't seen that one.
It's hysterical. Okay. So the very extreme cliff notes is there's three people. They have no ability at all to cook. None. But they have like this master cake sculptor or whatever. Like he does it with chocolates, and they make like these intricate, you know, like Little Mermaid, like statues, but it's a cake.
Oh, wow.
And you can eat all of it. So there's fondue and fondant or however you say it. And there's all kinds of stuff. Well, they have a picture. Say they want this, and they have to, there's an iPad that shows them the ingredients, and they've got to mimic what this looks like. And it ends up looking like this. And when they pop the thing off, they go, nailed it. Okay. But at the end, there's, I think, two rounds. Whoever got the closest to being whatever in round one gets a golden chef hat. And they can have the real chef come and tutor them for like 10 or 15 minutes personally. So they got a better chance of winning the next round.
Yeah.
So maybe y'all could do like a, like that turnover chain deal, but you have like a golden chef hat. Like whoever gets this goal gets to wear that around the office if they want. And like, they're the king of the universe. It's a carrot. Like you would think it would like not make any sense at all, but who would thought the turnover chain worked? And it worked gloriously.
Yeah.
So it might be something to play with.
It will be. I will put some more thought into that and you know, expand it all. That's a good place to start with and bring it all together. Thank you very much, David.
Awesome. This has been fun.
Yeah.
Definitely. Go get them, chef. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.